The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Some surprising facts about your skin. Well, you know, exercise, you've heard that it's so good for your heart and cardiovascular system, your lungs, immune system, and of course your muscles. But there's a close relationship with exercise and your skin. For your skin to be healthy, experts say that you need to sweat regularly. In fact, sweat glands are vital. They're chief contributors to new cells. So that's another good reason to exercise. This research from University of Michigan Health System found that the healing function of sweat glands declines as you age. Well, what doesn't? Everything declines with age. And then a study at McMaster University found that people over the age of 65 who did just a few spurts of daily exercise had skin closer to composition to people in their 20s and 30s. So you can turn back the hands of time, at least for your skin, by decades just by getting regular exercise. And they say that skin health and fitness are closely linked. And speaking of, well, in related news, did you know 14% of Americans sport body piercing? My gosh. You know, it used to be 14% had tattoos. Now it's 40%. And then 14% have piercings. And in men, this is interesting, what body part do you think would be the most popular place for piercing on a man? Well, it's the nipple. And leave me out of that one. Anyway, getting back to tattoos, it used to be only sailors and bikers had tattoos, but as I mentioned, about 40% of Americans are now tattooed. And there's some interesting health ramifications here, because despite the popularity, it's not quite as risk-free as you may think. This research from New York University Medical Center found that people who get inked do experience tattoo-specific rash. They can have severe itching or swelling that can last up to 4 months, and in some cases even up to years, several years, because the skin, you know, the skin's a highly sensitive organ. It's an immune-sensitive organ, and long-term consequences, really, of these injected dyes and colored inks are poorly understood. So just a word to all of you out there that are thinking of having a tattoo or maybe getting more. A new study in, this is from the Medicine and Health Science, or Medicine and Science and Sports Medicine, that they had healthy men with tattoos on one side of their body and found that they sweated less than people with skin left au natural. The sweat from tattooed skin contained twice the amount of sodium, so these people were more prone to becoming dehydrated. So that's one consequence, health consequence of tattoos. So much for tattoos and body piercing. Welcome to your caffeine-free wake-up call. It's who needs something in your cup to wake up when you have us on your radio? It's the Snowman with you, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy as we do it each and every week at this time. And we thank you so much for joining us, making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the show, in this hour of the program, Sharon Bayrich, she is expert on medical bullying. This is a topic we haven't tackled before. There's some interesting, it may be one of the dirty little secrets of medicine that, you know, you've heard of bullying in general in the workplace and in personal lives. But in the medical establishment, it seems to be widespread, and we'll talk about that and how it affects you as a patient. Also, in a little later in this hour, we'll talk about health fraud. She's also an expert on that. She's been in the medical field for decades, and so we'll hear from her from the inside, and what you need to know about those two important topics. And then next hour, nutrition and cancer, another important topic which we haven't covered in the recent past or maybe even in a few years. And that is with registered dietitian nutritionist Sally Peckstein from Maui. And she's a consultant, or she works with cancer patients over there at the Pacific Cancer Foundation in Maui. So we'll talk to her next hour. What to eat if you want to avoid cancer, what to eat if you have cancer or have had it, what to avoid. We'll give you a checklist and also some great recipe suggestions for not only the holidays, but every day of the year. So that's going to be really a very interesting show. And if you can't stay with us all 2 hours long, our show does rebroadcast tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. for Saturday Night Healthy right here on AM 690 or 94.3 The Answer. Yesterday, I attended the American Dental Association's annual convention, which is going on right now as I speak, at the Hawaii Convention Center here in Honolulu. And it was quite a production, I must say, one of the biggest events of the year for the convention center. There are over 16,000 dental health professionals, including 6,000 dentists from around the nation. And then, of course, there are the dentists' personnel, such as hygienists and lab technicians and the exhibitors and other related professionals connected to the field of dentistry. And it's definitely, I got to say, the best time in history when it comes to your oral health to be living, because whether it's preventing disease or diagnosing it or treating it and minimizing the pain from those treatments, the development of technology is simply beyond belief. However, the ancient practice of practicing good dental hygiene is still paramount when it comes to, being in a determinant to maintaining your or determining your optimal oral health. There's nothing like prevention, and we'll talk about that. There's going to be a few guests in the near future from this convention that will talk about things like nitrous oxide, the so-called laughing gas that is a popular anesthetic in the dental field. And we'll talk about the history and use of laughing gas, or a.k.a. nitrous oxide, in dentistry. Also, a few other notable things to mention from the ADA convention were the number of dry mouth remedies. I was surprised at this, that are coming up on the market. Because as you know, dry mouth, or as you may know, it's caused by everything from aging, and the population, of course, is aging, and certain diseases can cause dry mouth, as can prescription drug side effects. So a lot of work there being done to combat that, because if you have dry mouth, you're going to increase your likelihood of cavities, because saliva is what bathes the teeth and helps prevent tooth decay. Also, in oral hygiene, an area of concern or of development, everybody's heard of water picks. You know, they were the original device on the market for oral irrigation, hydration, or using water to irrigate between the teeth. And they're going to be introducing a combination, get this, a sonic toothbrush with a water flosser built in. So you can brush and floss at the same time if you're, just running out the door and only have 30 or 40 seconds to brush. Actually, the average person only, the statistic, average person only brushes their teeth for 45 seconds, and yet you need 2 full minutes to brush to effectively clean the plaque and debris off your teeth. You want 2 minutes is the optimal time for that. But anyway, this is going to be coming out in December, and we'll have information on that as it hits the marketplace. And so there you go. Oh, and the most remarkable marine animal on the planet, according to this dental expert, you know what it is? Or what animal it is? The narwhal. Are you familiar with the narwhal? That's the it has a gnarly tooth. It's actually, you know, they say it's a tusk. It's one big tusk. It's an Arctic animal. But it actually, they found this dentist, Dr. Martin Nguia, his research this for 15 years and found that it's actually an innervated tooth that has dental tubules and cementum and everything. And he emphasized the role as, or he wanted to emphasize the tooth's role as a sensory organ and reminded the audience, he gave one of the talks here at the ADA convention, not to forget that our own teeth also serve that same role. So although you don't think of your teeth as a sensory organ, but, you know, it's living tissue. A lot of people just think, oh, it's dead tissue like the hair. And currently, by the way, his research is on exhibit at the Smithsonian Natural Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., and it runs through 2019 if you'd like to see information on narwhals. Hey, a recap of last week's show. We did live coverage, exclusive radio coverage of the 40th annual Kona Ironman Triathlon, as we have for well more than a decade. And boy, that was an epic event, just a historic Kona Ironman, in that Patrick Lange of Germany crushed the record, 7 hours 52 minutes for the Kona Ironman, which is the first time, you know, he broke the 8-hour barrier for the first time in the 40-year history of the event. And Daniela Reif of Switzerland, she also crushed the women's record, not quite as fast as Patrick, but still just annihilating those the records. So we'll see what happens next year. But thanks for joining us last week. That was a very exciting race. And you know what was so exciting? And by the way, the conditions were ideal. That really helped matters. There was no fog for the first time in 30 years, probably. Light winds. They had favorable weather. And then, of course, the technology of the equipment they're using improves every year. And so that, I'm sure, helped out incrementally or fractionally, their outfits and the bike technology and so on. But the tearjerker, I don't know if any of you watched the it was streaming live, and you could watch the race all the way to the 17 hour cutoff. And so toward the end, I was watching late Saturday night, and I don't know if it's his last name or first name, but Marcus from Houston, Texas, one of the last competitors to cross the finish line, but he did it well under the 17-hour cutoff. He, ladies and gentlemen, 3 years ago, tipped the scales at 484 pounds, and he, you know, he was a volunteer at the Ironman, and he thought, you know, I can do this. I you know, he was so inspired by all the other people that overcame all kinds of other challenges, and that he took it upon himself that in 3 years he started just 20 minutes a day walking and then gradually building up. But, you know, at the finish line, there was a cardboard cutout of a photo of Marcus that he held up. Somebody handed him the sign, a life-size cardboard cutout when he weighed almost 500 pounds, and he grabbed that life-size cardboard picture of his old self as he crossed the finish line. Crossed the finish line, getting tears just thinking about it. But I mean, it was so inspiring. And then the oldest competitor of last week's Kona Ironman, Hiromo Inada, 86 years old, from Japan, oldest male finisher ever, with a time of over 16 hours. But still, he finished and he made it under the 17 mark. So that's great news. Hey, in the next hour of Dr. Health Radio, nutrition and cancer, as I mentioned. What should you eat to prevent cancer, or if you have it, or if had it, if you have had it, rather, what is the best diet to follow to prevent a recurrence? So we'll have Sally Pechstein from the from the Pacific Cancer Foundation talking about that. All right, straight ahead in the news, a few things you didn't know about poison. Then the effects of going meat-free. Also a new way to repair damaged joints. Plus, three ways to be very healthy. Details to these stories and more coming up on the Health Hotline News as Dr. Health Radio continues.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call 911 when they're experiencing uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
For current health news from around the world, Hawaii depends on the HLTH Health News Network. Time now for the Health Hotline News.
Okay, let's talk about a few things you didn't know about poison. You know, poison and toxins are not necessarily interchangeable. Poisons are not toxins always. They include things like radiation and pesticides and lead. Toxins, however, are usually defined as poisons produced by living organisms. And you've heard of, you know, snakes and lizards and stinging insects of all kinds. Also, it's not just animals and insects. Members of the plant kingdom are also deadly. The so-called flowering suicide tree produces a potent cardiotoxin in its kernels that have been implicated in hundreds of deaths. Now, most of these deaths were in native South Asia where it grows. And the most powerful of all the poisons on the planet is one that you'll find in a medical office or your plastic surgeon near you or a dermatologist, and that is the neurotoxin botulinum, which is the basis of Botox. It's the deadliest substance known. It takes just a few nanograms per kilogram of body weight to result in death. And as dangerous as botulism is, or the botulinum toxin, if you have precise dose, you know, it always comes down to the dose makes the poison, right? So if you have the medical application in tiny doses, such as Botox, you can treat not only wrinkles, but incontinence and strabismus, which is cross-eyed, and other medical, I think they're even using it for migraines now, other medical procedures or conditions and diseases. And, you know, many other toxins or poisons have positive uses. For example, there are some that are used as painkillers. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword. All right, no meat, no eat. Well, here's some consequences or effects or advantages of cutting down or eliminating meat from your diet. 35% less cholesterol when people stopped eating meat. Also, twice as much body weight lost when following a vegetarian diet. And then 42% lower risk of heart failure compared with carnivores. And we'll talk about plant-based diets in the second hour of the program with registered dietitian Sally Peckstein and how it can prevent cancer. Also, a paper in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology found that vegetarians who ate unhealthy plant-based foods, this is the other side of the coin, that's things like refined grains or sugars. I know a lot of, or I've met a lot over the years of vegetarians who were sugarholics. They were 32% more likely to develop heart disease. So there you go. You know, just because you're a vegetarian, it depends what you substitute those that meat with. You don't want to substitute it with sugars and refined carbohydrates and things that are going to affect your health adversely. Some fast facts for you. For your skin to be healthy, I mentioned sweat regularly. Missing breakfast can increase your risk of suffering a heart attack. That's why we have the Dr. Health Breakfast Club. And here are three ways to be berry healthy. A 32% reduction in heart attack risk in regular berry eaters compared to those who ate berries once a month. This is from the journal Circulation. Also, if you eat 500 grams of strawberries, you'll see a huge drop in cholesterol. That's about a pound. But, that's a basket of strawberries from the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. And you'll have a 10% reduction in the chances of suffering from hypertension if you eat some blueberries in your diet every day. So healthy ways to improve your nutrition. All right. Just a couple other articles. And let's get our guest on the line. We have Sharon Bayrich, who is standing by. And we'll get her on the line momentarily from Chaz. Close a wound without stitches. Wounds are usually fixed with stitches or staples as well. And that can damage surrounding tissue. Well, this could be avoided with a new bandage that seals the wounds without stitches. This is from Arizona State University. They made a bandage by combining silk and gold nanothreads or nanorods in a thin material. And when the laser is shown on this bandage, the gold converts into light or the light into heat. And then this leads to the structural changes in the silk. And the collagen of the tissue, your skin, is applied to the heat is applied to them. And it causes an intertwining or the bonding of the that to the surface of the skin. So no incisions needed, so that's good news. And finally, a supplement to stem damage from joints or to joints. This is an antioxidant supplement shown promise in helping mice with osteoarthritis. Well, maybe it'll help people as well. The most common joint disorder in humans is osteoarthritis. The only existing treatments, of course, are painkillers or drugs that reduce inflammation, but nothing actually halts or reverses the condition. Well, this is research from Belgium, and they screened gene activity in cartilage samples from people and mice with osteoarthritis and found depleted levels of a particular protein, which drives production of an enzyme that counters oxidative stress. And when the researchers bred mice unable to make this enzyme, they developed osteoarthritis. Well, long story short, N-acetylcysteine, that's NAC, which is also a great respiratory formula or a supplement, by the way, and it's in pharmacies and pharmacists recommend it as well for sinusitis and to break up mucus and congestion. But it's a supplement that neutralizes oxidative stress. And when mice with osteoarthritis were given NAC, it cut joint damage to the level seen in healthy mice. So this might hold promise in people with osteoarthritis as well. So NAC, it's good for you anyway, even if you don't have osteoarthritis. All right, we'll take a brief break. We're a little behind the eight ball here, the schedule. And we'll be back with Sharon Bayrich talking about not only medical bullying, but also medical health fraud, healthcare fraud. That's on the agenda as well. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. Of course, all of our regular features next hour as well. The Fitness File, Matters of Sexual Health, and the Funny Bone Pharmacy, as well as Dick Allgaier's Health Report. So much more information to come here on The Healthiest, 2 hours on radio.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer four supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, well, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzalase,
the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's TruFlora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. TruFlora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking TruFlora. See the friendly foursome of master supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Therolac, TruFiber, Enzylase, and TruFlora for the best intestinal health of your life.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common Radio Show. David Snow with you. My guest in this segment of the program, Sharon Bayrich. She, for 30 years, was a physician assistant and also has a master's in public health. And she worked for years and years at Baylor College of Medicine and then additional training at the University of Texas School of Public Health. And she's going to be talking today about medical bullying, as well as later in the program, healthcare fraud, both from doctors and from patients. And so we'll welcome her to the Dr. Health Radio microphones right now. Sharon, how the health are you?
Hi, David. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being there and doing what you do to raise awareness of this sometimes hidden problem, a little-known problem. Now, we know that the definition of bullying in general is someone who uses their strength or position of power or other influence to make you do what they want. But is medical bullying along these same lines, or is it something totally different? Am I off base here?
No, you've got the definition of bullying down just great. And bullying does occur in the medical arena. It occurs between nurses and physicians, attending physicians and junior residents and fellows, and so it's typically from a position of power or a position of influence to someone who is not at that same level, and they are indeed trying to make that person who is of a lower level, lower reputation, do something that they want them to do, and if they don't do it, then they force them to do it in various ways or means.
Wow. Now, have you yourself been a victim of this? Is that why you researched it and wrote about it?
More often than I care to notice or I care to even think about until I put it all together. The worst one was when I was physically assaulted by my department administrator.
My gosh, really? And what percentage of medical personnel would you say are the victims or the purveyors of bullying? I mean, is it widespread or is it the exception to the rule? Or what are we looking at here?
It's so widespread, nobody has a number on the percentage of people who actually do it.
Huh.
It's so ingrained in the medical culture that it's going to take us decades to get it out of our medical culture. We're working on it. We're making progress very slowly, but it's going to take decades before it's totally gone.
So is it because the position or the people in the position of power in the medical profession are the same ones that are involved in that process or in the bullying itself?
Well, it does typically come from the senior attendings down to the junior attendings, or from the senior attendings down to the medical residents and or the fellows who are still in training after they finish their medical school. So that's typically the power play. is in between the senior to the juniors. The paraplegic can also be between a senior nurse and a junior nurse on the floor, a brand new nurse who gets bullied by a senior head nurse. And the junior nurse gets so frustrated that she turns around and starts bullying the student nurse. So it's very common within the nursing field. It's very common within the physician ranks, the PAs and the MPs, and those that are on the team seeing the patients and taking care of the patients. But it's also very common within the nursing ranks.
So it sounds like being at home with families. you're talking about family dynamics also. I mean, if I didn't know you were talking about medicine, I would think that you're just talking about the personal lives of people and their relatives sometimes. I mean, that is a similar pattern, isn't it?
There is some very similar things, because within the family, you learn how to relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to communicate. You learn how to be supportive. You learn how to be encouraging. You learn how to, this is the appropriate way to communicate, and this is the inappropriate way to communicate. And in medicine, unfortunately, too many people who work in medicine have learned how to not communicate correctly, and not encourage, and not be there for their teammates, and not, it's just kind of like they are so dysfunctional, they don't realize how dysfunctional they are.
Wow, interesting. And how does this affect the patients? I mean, does it carry over? Is there any transference of the ill feelings or the power plays, as you mentioned, or any of that where the patient would suffer this as well?
Yes, there is, unfortunately, because when you're thinking about a physician who is being bullied, one of the consequences of being bullied is that physicians are committing suicide because they can't handle being bullied anymore, and they're depressed and they're anxious to begin with. 75% of all medical students are on antidepressants and anti-anxiety.
What? Are you serious? 75%? No.
Yes. Dr. Pamela Wimble has done research on this. She is
unbelievable.
Right now, she is the lone physician in the U.S. that medical students, residents, and fellows and attendings can call 24/7 and say, I need help. I'm on the edge. I'm about ready to go over and commit suicide. And she's the only one that has a hotline for medical personnel. They will call her and they will tell her what's going on, and she will get them the help that they need, because she's got all sorts of contacts, psychiatric help and all that kind of thing. So she's been doing research on this for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And one of her research subjects that she did, one of her topics was to find out how many medical students are actually taking antidepressants. She did a survey. I believe the survey was over 1,000 medical students, and 75% said that they were taking antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications in medical school.
And those are only the ones that admit it, Sharon.
True. Correct.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. Sharon, we need to take a break for the bottom hour station ID. And when we come back, I want to ask you about other high-stress professions, if this is as prevalent in other fields as well, like the legal profession. Of course, we know this. All the things you were saying, it reminds me of the political climate and the politics in general in that field. But we'll talk about other high-stress professions that might be subject to bullying. And then what about whistleblowers? Are they victims of bullying, or what is the connection there? And then a little later in the program, we're going to get into healthcare fraud, both from a doctor's perspective and a patient's view. And then a lot more information to come here with Sharon Bayrich. We'll tell you how to get her more information on what she does. And we will be back with more information for your good health. Here on Dr. Health, I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
Hi there, health fans. Dick Allgaier here. The cost of obesity in the U.S. Army. A doctor did a study, and the results are shocking. What is this costing us? I'll have details. Prescription drugs are really messing with aquatic life. Oh, no. That's depressing. Hey, I think I'll go watch something on Netflix. Oh, no. That's a new addiction, too. I'll have details coming up in my health report in the next hour of the Dr. Health Show.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
AM 690, The Answer, KHNR, Honolulu, a service of Salem Communications, on the NASDAQ at SALM, AM 690, The Answer.
Snow,
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 snow, snow.
It is, David Snow on your radio.
Before, we'll all be there snow.
Here's a t-shirt I saw, has a big cup of coffee on the front of the shirt and with a smiling face on the side of the cup, and it says, I own you. For all you caffeine addicts out there, that's right, the coffee owns you. All right, welcome back to your weekly dose of good health, and we are here today, if you're just joining us, Sharon Bayrich is my guest, talking about medical bullying. Now, Sharon, let's talk about other high-stress professions besides medicine. Is this unique to this field? I know that this is the field you've been in for over 30 years, but have you researched other fields to see if this is just the norm?
I've not researched other fields. Before I went into medicine, I worked as a secretary, and I worked in customer service and the Visa credit card area, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think bullying is much more common than people think it is, because I certainly had some bullying happen to me when I was a secretary and when I was working with the credit card Visa people. It's people in positions of power who are insecure, don't have self-confidence, and so they bully those below them because they want to feel good about themselves. And
sure.
They don't realize that that's not the answer.
And how long has this been going on in medicine? Is it decades old, or has it been since the birth of medicine, or have you done any research on the history of this particular occurrence?
Well, I believe bullying in medicine has been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that it's been going on since at least the 1970s, when I did some initial medical training with some nurses, and I was bullied by one of the senior nurses. And that was back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading a biography of a hospital-based floor nurse, and she, in her biography, talked about bullying among the nurses, and that was also back in the 70s. So I know it's been going on for decades and probably much longer than the 70s.
Mm. And do you think it's getting worse, or is it improving? I mean, with the Me Too movement and a lot of awareness being paid to things like this in all areas of our lives, do you think it's turning the corner and it's going to be improving in the future?
It's slowly improving. It's not. It's making. It's beginning moves. Right, is what I was trying to come up with. It's coming out of the closet. People are now recognizing it as being a problem, and they're now willing to recognize and actually discuss it. There's now what is called the Swartz Round, which did not exist 40 years ago.
What is that?
It came into existence about 20 years ago, back at Harvard in Boston. It's called the Swartz Round because the patient by the last name of Swartz had cancer and she died, and her family set up the Swartz rounds as a memorial to the fact that they lost one of their own. And the Swartz rounds basically is a once a month, 1 hour session for anyone to attend at any of the various hospitals. They come in and they present a patient, or they may present two patients. They get encouragement from their colleagues. They get support from their colleagues. They get help in regards to what's going on with this patient from their colleagues. They get physical hugs. Mm. They get, you know, conversations. They get to be told, you're doing this correctly. They get, you know, some yah-yahs, some yay-yays, that kind of thing. And everyone comes out of the sports rounds going, I feel so much better because I'm not alone. A lot of times physicians feel alone. They don't feel like they can ask a team, you know, colleague, how would you handle this? How would you handle that?
Right.
Because they've never been taught how to be a team member. They've gone through medical school and it's compete, 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 get the best grades, you know, and you know, knock that next person down because I got a better grade than he did. And you have to compete to get your residency, the best residency.
Mm-hmm.
You have to compete to get your best fellowships. And so it's a constant competition, me first, everyone else last.
Okay.
And
right.
So Swartz Rounds allows them to see, hey, wait a minute, you're out there practicing medicine. You're not out there on your own. You're out there with other people who know information that you may not know. And this is a way for them to finally start breaking down some of those barriers, realizing it's a team play. It's mm-hmm. not an individual play.
Well, and don't you think that it's also because we demand perfection? You know, from a patient's point of view, we demand that or expect that doctors are going to give us a perfect treatment or that, you know, they'll perfectly cure us of a disease or what have you. And that the perfection, you know, what they say is perfection can lead to, perfection to paralysis or, being so focused on not making any mistakes. And then when somebody does make a mistake, it can have dire consequences. But sometimes mistakes aren't allowed in that arena. And so that causes the stress, the high stress in the medical profession, doesn't it?
Well, as you're going through medical school and you're going through your undergrad, you have this ingrained in your head, I have to be perfect. I have to
yeah.
be perfect. I have to
right.
get, you know, all A's for my grades.
Exactly.
I have to do this perfectly. I have to do that perfectly. And so they never let themselves off the hook to say, hey, I don't know this,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know that piece of information. But yet they still have to be perfect and they're still on the hook. And so they can't ask for help from a colleague. And that's what leads a lot of them down the road of depression and anxiety, being bullied, bullying others, and a lot of times eventual suicide. We're losing a physician a day, sometimes two physicians a day, to suicide just for those reasons.
And what happens, on the flip side of things when you're talking about what is kind of under the surface in this profession? What happens when somebody brings it to light? I'm talking about whistleblowers. What are the consequences? Are they usually rewarded or chided or demoted or eliminated, if you will, from the picture if somebody's a whistleblower? What are the consequences there?
The whistleblower, there is a whistleblower organization. It's a national federal organization. And when somebody tries to do whistleblowing and basically bring to light what's going on and what's wrong, the problem is the whistleblower is gotten rid of. The hospital will fire them. The hospital will say, we don't want you. You don't work for us. You're not a team member. They will come up with all sorts of lies and they will get rid of them. There was actually one of Dr. Wimble's studies that she did in regards to one of the physician suicides was an orthopedic surgeon down in Florida. He was working for one of the main hospitals down in, I believe he lives in Fort Lauderdale. But he was working for one of those main hospitals, and the hospital was, we want billings, we want billings. We want you to do this, this, and this for these patients because they need this, and he would look at their medical record, he would look at their MRI results and that kind of thing, and he would say, no, they don't need this surgery. Doing pain injections into that joint would do them much better. Doing PT, doing rehab would do them much better than my doing surgery on them. And he was very adamant that patients came first and patient care came first. And the hospital was very adamant that we need billings, we need money. And it came to the point of where he tried to be a whistleblower. And because the hospital just kept forcing and forcing and forcing, you know, we need billings on him, it finally forced him over the edge and he committed suicide.
Unbelievable.
Leaving behind a very lengthy, long note for the lawyers regarding all of the errors that the hospital was doing, forcing him to do things he did not want to do and were not good for patients.
Oh, my gosh. On that note, Sharon, let's take a one last break of the hour. And when we come back, I want to shift gears and talk about medical and healthcare fraud, both from the standpoint of patients committing healthcare fraud, as well as you know, doctors with double billings and all the fraud that goes on in the in that aspect of medicine as well, the doctors versus the patients. So we'll talk about both sides of the issue, both sides of the coin, when we come back with Sharon Bayrich, who is a medical professional, has been in the field for 30 years. And so stay tuned for more information for your good health. And a reminder, next hour, cancer and nutrition with registered dietitian nutritionist Sally Peckstein. Stick around if you want to stay healthy as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Hi there, health fans. Dick Allgaier here. The cost of obesity in the U.S. Army. A doctor did a study, and the results are shocking. What is this costing us? I'll have details. Prescription drugs are really messing with aquatic life. Oh, no. That's depressing. Hey, I think I'll go watch something on Netflix. Oh, no. That's a new addiction, too. I'll have details coming up in my health report in the next hour of the Dr. Health Show.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata. Where did you get that smile that makes you you? Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, where did you get that smile? You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are a specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles.
Hey, we hope you're feeling good today. 51 minutes after the hour. Thanks for staying with us here on the healthiest 2 hours on radio. David Snow with you. We can always get more information, or you can always get more information, because we put it on our website, drhealthradio.com. You spelled the word doctor now, D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. Continuing our conversation with Sharon Bayrich, talking about medical bullying. Well, we did that in the first segment. Let's talk about healthcare and medical fraud. Sharon, since you've been in the field for 30 years, is this as prevalent as people, as the media would like us to think, or what is the just how serious a problem is this?
As far as healthcare fraud, the problem is that some physicians believe that they deserve to do this extra billing, they deserve this extra money, they deserve to, you know, get additional billings in or additional monies in or do a procedure that they really didn't do because they went through medical school and they had all of this intensive extra training and they didn't earn any money while they were doing that, so they're trying to make up for it. So that's some of the mindset with the physicians as to why they do the double billing. There's other physicians who do, you know, totally fraudulent billing because the one case that I reported to the FBI here in town was a case where the physician would work for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, for a total of 20 hours, and yet he was billing during that four-hour time period. Based on his billings, he should have only seen 8 patients in a day, and he was seeing 64 in a day.
That's 64 patients in 4 hours?
That's what he was billing for, yes.
Wow. Well, you know, the average, depending on the study you see or read, it's 8 minutes to 11 minutes, I think, or 12, as far as the average length of a doctor's appointment. But that's pushing it right there. 64, let's see, what I don't have time to do the math right now, but 64 patients in 4 hours.
He was seeing a patient every 3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay, yeah, okay. So I was going to say that's... over. That is I'm trying to think of an analogy for it.
Not the record you want to hold.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, 3 minutes. I just remembered that the average fast food wait is 3 minutes, 3 seconds for, I think it's the drive-thru. So it's the fast food of medicine in a 3-minute doctor's appointment. Wow, that's really something. Now, on the flip side of things, there are patients that game or play the system, so to speak, such as workers' compensation. What have you found on that side of the coin as far as the patients that scam our healthcare profession in fraudulent ways?
Well, I don't come across it on the patient side so much as I have come across it on the medical side.
Uh-huh.
The physicians, the nurses, the PTs, the pharmacists, you know, those that are in specialties such as the oncologists. That's the side that I've seen. I haven't seen it on the part of patients, although I've had probably a couple of patients come in going, well, I need you to sign this and I need you to attest that I have this, you know, this thing wrong. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I won't do that. You need to go see a workman's comp disability physician because they're very specialized in that and they will really, you know, assess if this is true or not. But, you know, there are patients who will try to scan the system or try to, you know, skim off the top.
Right.
I don't deal with them. I send them off to the workman's comp people.
Mm, okay. Yeah, and I know that a lot of companies' benefits are based on determining or what the physician determines for that patient. So whether they get, whether it's alternative therapies or different allowances or you know, extra sick days or time off, things like that. So, yeah, that's probably a whole can of worms. So as far as the percentages, you know, I asked you this on the percentages of what percent of medical bullying is in the medical profession, but what about healthcare fraud? What percentage of the patients or, doctors or the medical personnel would you say are involved in this or, you know, where it occurs? Was it a single-digit percentage, double-digit percentage of the total healthcare picture?
I would say it's probably somewhere around 5 to 10%.
Wow.
But that's just a very rough estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because of the U.S. DOJ being involved in all sorts of Medicare fraud, healthcare insurance fraud, and the totals and the amounts that they are basically going after people for. Currently, their latest numbers say that there's $100 billion a year of health care fraud that's going on that the DOJ is having to prosecute against.
And that
is a slew of money.
Yeah, $100 billion. That's no small change. So that's in the from the health care side of the picture, not the patient side.
Correct.
Okay, $100 billion.
And that's only in 9 cities.
Oh,
right,
really?
Now they're working in 9 cities. They haven't come to Denver yet to do the case that I know about, that I have been involved with and told them about and testified to them about and gotten hold of the DEA about and the state medical board about. So I'm waiting for them to show up in town so that this case will go to court. But right now they've just done it in 9 cities, and they're getting ready, I hope, to move out of those 9 cities and move into new cities to be prosecuting cases. And once they do that, then I hope Denver's on that list.
Okay, and now last question. If someone discovers some kind of healthcare fraud, either, say, with maybe the doctor they're going to, or somebody that they have heard of that is, engaging in practices that are not quite honest, is there an agency where they could report this anonymously, or what are some of the avenues out there that people can take as far as actions to cause further occurrences or to prevent further occurrences?
Okay. Well, it's based on their age. If they have private health insurance, i.e. they're below 65, then they need to go to their health care insurance people and talk to them about the possibility that fraud has been committed on their health insurance. They also need to get a hold of their medical record and give that to the insurance people and say, this was not done, this was not done, this was not done, and have the health insurance people pursue that.
Okay.
If they have Medicare, then there is a website that is www.stopmedicarefraud.gov, and they file a complaint through that website for their Medicare. If there is narcotic fraud, then they go to www.dea.gov. and they file a complaint.
Okay.
If they wish to be a whistleblower, then they go to the www.whistleblower.org and they file a complaint.
All right. Sharon, we're out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much. Is there a website for you for people to get in touch with you?
They can just email me at mycolorado.ca@msn.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being there and for sharing the information you did.
Thanks, David.
All right, and here we go with another hour, but we'll be back after the top of the hour Fox News with one more hour of health information.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.